Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a dead man is denied parole. Also, Governor Ivey releases her budget. And a lawmaker wants to make panhandling illegal.
Say, pardon me, but could you help out a fellow American who's down on his luck?
Hit the road!
Such compassion. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and today I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
You know, there are just some things that just keep giving, like viruses. You know, they multiply and they just destroy things in their path. And I'm ready to put former Representative Mo Brooks into that category of viruses or bacteria that just keep spreading. You can't get rid of them. So on a recent...
Lysol won't kill it.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, we don't want to terminate him. We just want him to shut up. But he's not doing that. Recently, he was on an interview. Talk radio people seem to love Mo Brooks. Get him on there and let him yak and yak and yak. Where Susan, he said that his last term in office, you could not count on one single congressional member from Alabama to do the right thing except for Barry Moore. So in other words, Jerry Carl, Gary Palmer, Mike Rogers, Tommy Tuberville, Richard Shelby, Robert Atterholt, all could not be counted on to do the right thing. Only he and Barry Moore.
Well, I'm not sure what he's worried about people doing the right thing. He didn't do anything while he was there. How would he know if they were doing the right thing? I mean, it boils down to this. He's jealous. He wanted to go back into the big boys club. They kicked him out, essentially. The voters said, no. Time for you to go home, play with the grandkids. And he just can't stand it.
I mean, Josh, he said that none of them were fiscally conservative at all, and that the Republicans, except for him and Barry Moore, were just like the Democrats in D.C.
Well, let me just say, that's quite the party of two there, Mo Brooks and Barry Moore. it's really funny to me to listen to all of the Republicans who are now angry at Mo Brooks and who have decided that Mo Brooks is a do nothing blowhard. I feel like Bruce Willis in Die Hard when he's shooting up the cop car and says, "Welcome to the party, pal." It's honestly, welcome to the party, y'all. Yeah, it's just the same guy. It's the same person he's always been. It's just now he's throwing the rocks at you guys.
Yeah, that's right. He did come back later in the interview and say that, Gary Palmer and Tommy Tuberville will do the right thing more often than not. Mm. But that's not a lot of credit when you're below Barry Moore. You know?
Yeah, right. Barry Moore is your bar. It's something to behold. I mean, honestly, it's nice to watch them just throw rocks at each other for a little while.
Yeah, bless Barry's heart. You know, he just ain't quite the brightest bulb in the chandelier.
No. His elevator does not quite go to the top floor. But I just think it's interesting to me how, you know, there was a time where Ronald Reagan was the oracle of the Republican Party and the guy that people looked up to. And one of his commandments was, the 11th commandment, was thou shalt not talk badly about a fellow Republican. Nowadays, one of the biggest things is to trash your fellow Republicans. I mean, that is a big deal right now with Donald Trump running for office again and for Ron DeSantis hinting at running. You know, there's all this smack talk coming up again about who's a rhino, who's not, who's good, who's bad. I don't hear that in the Democratic Party.
No, yeah, there's not. There's a little bit, you know, especially in the more liberal states overall, the Californias and places like that. There's a little bit of that back and forth because it's people jockeying for the same spots for the most part.
Right.
And if you have a state that if we could ever get a democratically gerrymandered state the way Alabama is gerrymandered, then you would probably have a lot more of that as well, because people have to push to the edges in those sorts of situations, and they have to fight each other because the other side poses no threat, you know? So that's what we have here, is we have no threat from the Democrats and the other parties, or libertarians or whoever, and so Republicans have to fight each other for these select few spots.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I just don't remember a time when I remembered a unified Republican Party, and now we have a Republican Party that wants to slam each other, which is kind of weird to me. I just don't.
Well, it's all about getting the views and all about getting the clicks, yeah. And you know, they've learned that there's no real value in doing substantive things for actually legislating and presenting great ideas and bold ideas. There's no value in that. It's being critics and just talking a lot.
Well, you know, it just is a disservice to the voters. It's a disservice, sure, to the public.
But the voters need to wake up and start paying attention to the fact, yeah, that this is all blowhardism, and that they need to elect people in there that are actually going to get the job done,
100%.
That have policy, that have ideas and plans, yep, and stop listening to the crap.
Well,
yep, I cannot say that any better than that. Yeah.
The coalition to repress anything progressive,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah.
I do want to move on here. Speaking of elitist,
and crap,
where were we? State Rep. Reed Ingram, who is an elitist from Montgomery, has Josh introduced a bill that basically, and no matter what he says, is does away with panhandling, and he thinks it's unsightly. So if you've got a guitar or whatever, and you want to sit on the side of the road and play your guitar and have people give you money, or if you want to hold up a cup and say, hey, can you spare a dime for a fellow American, Reed just doesn't think that's a good image. He wants to do away
with
it.
Yeah, he calls it loitering.
Loitering.
Yeah. Well, listen. We don't like it when you stand around and be poor, okay? All right? There should be laws against standing around and being poor. And so, you know, he's trying. Listen, I understand that there are issues at places in Montgomery, and a lot of people have raised these issues over the years with homeless encampments underneath overpasses and bridges, folks, you know, kind of going up to cars and asking for money and things. And, you know, there's not a lot of crime involved in any of this. And so they've had to make up a crime to charge these folks with. But at the same time, the answer here is not to arrest these people and put charges on them and to put fines on them, because that's what all you're going to do is you're just going to stack fines on top of fines,
yeah,
with these folks.
Yeah.
Figure out better ways within the community to devote the resources that you're going to devote to them if you put them in jail and go through the court system with them. Figure out ways to spend that money in a manner that actually helps them to transition from whatever the issues are.
Right, well, because, okay, you know, it's like this. if you charge them and you put fines on it, you're just going to make their situation worse.
Absolutely. And you know, but we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
Right now, Alabama legislators have another chance to pass a gaming and lottery bill.
Creating 12,000 jobs.
And over $700 million a year in new funding for the state.
Money for roads and infrastructure.
Education. Healthcare.
High-speed internet expansion.
And public safety.
It's time to stop leaving money on the table.
It's time to get it done.
Pass.
Pass.
Pass a comprehensive gaming and lottery bill.
There seems to be a new wave of aggressive driving lately.
You see those people, they are the ones that are tailgating other people because they have to get through their destination now.
Weaving in and out of traffic, looks like they could care less about who's around them. There's no one else on the roadway. They're the only one there.
Aggressive driving can be the difference between life and death.
All because somebody thought they needed to be the front of the line and get there first.
Slow down. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
My dog Jupiter is frightened when I climb too high, the owl said.
Check for monsters, Daddy.
I did, honey. There are no monsters. You're perfectly safe.
Protect yourself and those you love. Vaccinate now.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. And the realm of you can't make this stuff up. A few weeks ago, the Alabama Board of Pardons and Paroles did the unthinkable. They actually met and denied parole to a guy who had been dead for about 10 to 14 days. He is dead and buried. We don't even know how he died or why he died. But we know Josh in Alabama, not even a dead man can get parole.
Yeah, it's a real, I don't even know. I guess it's a real spotlight on just how terrible our Bureau of Pardons and Paroles has become. This board is, first of all, they're denying pretty much everybody. I mean, the denial rate is well above 95%. I know some people think that might be fake news, but it's not.
It's a hoax.
But you know, we actually have stats and numbers and people to, you know, to talk about this, and you can actually go and look these things up. I know you use the internet for porn or whatever, but I, you know, that you can actually look things up on there, and have actual facts at your fingertips. But you know, it's really I mean, they're not words. There's no words to they denied a dead person. They did not even know that he was dead. I don't understand how that happens. How does that occur?
Well, and even in when our reporters started looking into it, everybody denied culpability here. Well, they were supposed to send us a death certificate. Oh, it's not our job to send them a death certificate. I mean, seriously? You can't send a memo or a post-it note across the street?
You know, and we have this thing called email. You know, they could do that. But the fact that what that points to in my mind is just the utter disregard they have for the incarcerated individual, and also the disorganization and lack of skilled individuals in there who are doing their job.
Seriously, how much skill does it take to send an email or a post-it note or give a telephone call?
You've got, and we don't even know how the guy died, right?
Yeah.
And it did this, and you're right. You know, just 6% or 93 individuals out of over 1,400. That are eligible have been paroled lately. I mean,
that are eligible for
now,
parole.
Yeah. We've got this, let me get this. This new rep, Jerry Starnes out of Prattville, who actually stood up in a committee meeting and said that them not releasing inmates, prisoners, is a hoax. That those of us reporting on this is a hoax. Now, I don't know if Mr. Starnes is delusional, deceived, or a congenital liar. It's not a hoax.
These are facts and figures and statistics coming from paroles, the parole board.
Yeah.
Yeah, they release these. I mean, these are their stats. I mean,
they're not ashamed of
somebody. I don't know.
They're not ashamed of them. Yeah. But there you go. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we have such ill-informed lawmakers.
Is it really?
No. But listen, let me tell you this. I'll tell you this. The fact that we have such ill-informed lawmakers, and such unconcerned lawmakers, and people who have such a disregard for human life, that's the reason why we have a Department of Corrections and a Board of Pardons and Paroles that behave in such a way, that are so mismanaged and so dysfunctional that we forgot that this guy was dead before he came up for parole. We put another guy in an unmarked grave, basically, before his family could even be notified. We routinely lie to people about how folks died in prison. We routinely lie about the deaths overall. You know, we got people dying in droves. And we have the Department of Justice trying to sort this whole thing out. And in the meantime, we've gotten worse. We're somehow worse. And it's atrocious that you have people covering up for this like Starnes is with this thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just outrageous. Another thing, and I don't want to paint too bleak a picture on the pardons and paroles overall, because I think having Commissioner Cam Ward in there is probably one of the best things that's happened to pardons and paroles in a long time. But he has no control over the board. But we did, Josh, you did report this week that between 2019 and 2020, the Alabama Pardons and Paroles spent nearly $400,000 moving their offices from downtown Montgomery to out east. And now they're going to move them back.
Yeah. Well, and let me just be clear. The $400,000 was not just to move. It was to furnish the offices and decorate, basically. So they wanted to move from downtown to the Colonial Building out east off of, you can see it off of 85 as you're heading towards Auburn. So they're way out east in a building that was too small for the whole department. So they had to put the IT folks in another building that they leased off of Perry Hill Road. And so now they're going to, after Cam got in and took a look at everything and went, what in the hell is going on here? They're going to move them back downtown at a cost of about $650,000. So, yeah, we're all in about $1 million, a little bungled move. And, you know, I think they'll ultimately save some money with what they're doing because they're going to give up one lease. But it's still quite a way for the folks that are doing no work whatsoever to release anybody to spend your taxpayer dollars.
I mean, that's a whole lot of money. Can they not just move the furniture that they have over out east and over here? Or do we have to completely refurnish this building?
I don't know. I mean, they're going into an RSA building, so it's probably going to be pretty nice.
I don't think they're
going
to have to paint or do wallpaper or anything.
David Bronner does.
No, I mean, they've got to fix it back up, I guess, so you can have the hearings in which the inmates don't actually go to them, which is
weird. And so there you have it. Alabama Pardons and Paroles can spend $1 million getting their offices fixed up, and now they don't like those offices, and so they're going to move back. So $1 million total. And dead men cannot get paroled in Alabama. But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Throughout my career, I've seen many crashes, and a lot of the fatalities are from people who haven't worn their seatbelt.
Cars have rolled over multiple times.
I've had people end up in lakes, ravines. I've been looking for people in the woods for a couple hours before.
Usually just about every bone in their body is broken, their organs have ruptured, and typically they die.
You want to save a life? Just simply click a button and put the seatbelt on.
Seatbelts really do save lives.
There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread and kissed them all soundly.
Lights out.
Good night. And put them to bed. Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org.
Speed is one of the biggest factors in a fatal car crash. Your car stops, but your body does not stop at the same time. Your body keeps going, you know, and that could be running into your seatbelt, that could be hitting the airbag. Something has to stop it, and unfortunately, it's something very hard.
There have been times that we've come upon accidents where if people weren't speeding, they'd probably still be alive today.
It's truly dangerous, and it puts everybody at risk.
There's just no point to it.
This kind of stuff has got to stop.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Susan, this past week, Governor Ivey released her budget. It will now be taken up by the legislature. Unlike former governor, Robert Bentley, who, when he sent over a budget, they immediately put it in the round file.
They had a ceremony. It was a whole ceremony that they put it in the garbage can. What are you talking about?
So we have not heard of any instances of anybody throwing Governor Kay Ivey's budget in the trash, and it will be given serious consideration. One of the big things that's getting a headline, or lots of headlines, is this $400 rebate mm-hmm. for people who paid their taxes and or filed taxes in 2021. If it's filing jointly, it'd be $800, $400 filing singularly. But we've heard from Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth and some others who do not think that a rebate is necessarily the best route to go.
Well, I would have to agree with Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth in that I'm concerned that we're not it's giving people a reward, and I understand that. But also, you're talking about a very large chunk of money that we might be able to put to a better use toward the future of Alabama. We've got so many different problems with our infrastructure, with our health care, and all of that, that as a taxpayer myself, I'd rather see that money go to, you know, something that's going to further Alabama. But that's just my opinion.
Josh, and I, it's going to be about $1 billion to send those taxpayers, and us included, the three of us mm-hmm. here will get checks. $1 billion. That could go a long way.
You can build a second prison with that.
Yeah, you can build. Listen, I was going to say, send me my money. because I see what you do with it. And the $1 billion prison is a perfect example of this. And, I don't think there's a real choice here. Okay. There's not a real choice because what Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth is suggesting is, taking off the grocery tax is one option, which is a fantastic idea, something that I have lobbied for. John Knight started this several years ago in the legislature when he was still there. It was a great idea then, but you can do both because you're not going to lose any money by repealing the grocery tax because the money that you would take in from the grocery tax is going to be spent by people who will take that money, that savings, and spend it elsewhere because you're talking about working families. Yeah, and so it's just you could do both things. You could send the $1 billion rebates and repeal the grocery tax and really help out some working folks. Do that. And, roll back the gas tax as well.
I'm not against
you can give it up on the gas tax.
You can give it up on the gas tax.
That's in concrete.
Pun
intended there.
But, I don't disagree with Governor Ivey when she says, give the taxpayer their money back. The only problem is we're giving Florida and California's tax money
you're
back.
You're sending it to California and New York, then? That's because it's not ours.
No, we're not doing that because Alabama gets about $2 for every dollar we send to the federal government.
Go ahead. I will say in this budget, she gives a 2% raise for state employees as well as for educators, which, is well needed. There's going to be more money for Medicaid and the Department of Corrections, which God knows what they'll do with that. But, there's some really good stuff in this budget.
Well, the couple of things I really like is they're going to put some money back in the rainy day fund and they're going to pay off some debt. I never argue with savings and paying off your debt because you become a slave to debt. Even the state does. And so it's good to get that done. But Josh, this Medicaid increase isn't going to be a drop in the bucket for the problem we got.
Yeah. There's a whole Medicaid issue that we've got going on. We've got several thousand people about to lose their coverage and fall into that gap and join another 200 or so thousand people who are already in that gap. And so that's on top of, the growing amount that we have with the folks that are in there. There's a way to solve this. We've known it for, since the guy before the guy was in office for 8 years and it was his idea. And so that's the only reason why we didn't do this. But we could do it now. We could expand this Medicaid and we could solve a lot of problems with the money that expansion would then generate. But here we are.
Well, there's money coming. Governor Ivey's budget, by all accounts, is fiscally responsible. It is forward looking. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with most parts of the budget. But one of the things I will say, and I've heard this many times before, show me how you spend your money, what your budget is, and I'll show you what you care about. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing to look at here in this budget.
Prisons. Mm-hmm. That's what we care about.
That's an amazing statement there, Josh, because we've never cared a bit about prisons or the people in it.
Or the well, no, we just care about building them. We don't care about actually managing them.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
Hey, Josh, this is something good that'll be near and dear to your heart, warm the cockles, as they say. There is a bill from Senator Andrew Jones that wants to do away or cut occupational tax to 1%. Now, the mayors around the state are losing their minds. There's some of them that are up to 4% in occupational tax, and they say it pays for services like fire and police and mm-hmm. things like that. But you think we ought to cut them, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I am all for people paying for those services. I love the police, love the fire folks out there. I love them to death. But I think what you are doing, we have done so often in this state, is tax the working people all the time. We've taxed the average worker to death in here, and we need to figure out better ways to tax folks on their income. The higher income earners need to be taxed a whole lot more than what they are, and we need to figure out better ways to go about taxing people and stop taxing people to drive to work and to eat and to go to work every day and to get a paycheck. You know, stop it.
And I agree with that. But with so much legislation in Montgomery, they don't think it all the way through. They don't have a plan. They just go, well, let's just cut the occupational tax.
Yeah.
What are you going to replace it with? All right, what tax or where are they going to replace that money for the cities? I'm all for cutting the occupational tax, but have a plan, a full-rounded plan, not just half of it.
And I'm going to be contrarian here. I am not necessarily in favor of cutting the occupational tax, because I don't want the legislature to do it. If a municipality wants to cut the occupational tax, I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. If they want to increase it, I'm good with that. It's like property tax. When are we ever going to get beyond the Alabama Bourbons who still control this state? Like they did in 1901,
it's written
so that we have home rule. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't want them telling you what monuments you can have or what schools you can find. It's just like, stop it already. Let the people, you know, govern their city. But I could be wrong on that. That's
wait a minute. I think there might be a problem in there. But go ahead.
No, I think we ran out of time with my problem. So I guess we're going to have to leave it right there. That's a low ebb to end on, isn't it, Josh? All right, you've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us, because we watch them.